وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to another episode of Fundamentals of Faith. In our previous show, we discussed the concept of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And we also mentioned that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the Lordship of Allah and the belief in the Lordship of Allah, is not sufficient in order for one to be a Muslim. And we mentioned that the main difference between us Muslims and all the other religions is not the fact that we believe in one Rabb, in one God. But it is in the fact that we worship this God alone. Everyone, or most religions, believe in one God. But only Muslims are the ones who worship this God and only this God. And this is the concept of uluhiyyah. So I hope you stay tuned to this episode in which we will discuss the importance of the concept of uluhiyyah. We'll be right back. The topic of today is regarding the blessings of uluhiyyah, or the blessings of La ilaha illallah, which is the essence of uluhiyyah. The blessings of this small statement are too numerous to mention. It is because of La ilaha illallah that the creation was created. It is because of La ilaha illallah that the books were revealed. It is because of La ilaha illallah that the prophets were sent. It is because of La ilaha illallah that we are sitting here today for Tawheed, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Based on this one small sentence, the Muslim has been divided from the non-Muslim. Based on this one kalima of La ilaha illallah, Jannah will be assigned to the people who believe in it. And the punishment of Allah will be assigned to those who disbelieve in it. It is this one sentence, La ilaha illallah, that the Muslim hears as soon as he is born. Because the child, when it is born, the father is required to say into the child's ear, the adhan. And part of the adhan is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And it is this very sentence that the Muslim hopes will be his last utterance before he dies. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, that whosoever's last statement is La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says this as his last statement will enter Jannah. And there is another hadith, akhi, if you can give me volume 14 of Sahih ibn Hibban. In the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, and Ibn Hibban is a book written by Muhammad ibn Hibban al-Busti, a book of hadith. And in it, he tried to compile most of the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He died in the year 354 Hijrah. And what he did was very unique. He arranged the books and the ahadith in such an arrangement that no one preceded him and no one did it after him as well. It was based upon the commandments and the prohibitions and the statements. It was so confusing basically that his book was neglected for a few centuries until someone came along and rearranged it into nice easy chapters. So what we have today is the reorganized version of Sahih ibn Hibban. And if we turn to this beautiful hadith here, about the blessings of La ilaha illallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates that Musa said, O my Lord, Ya Rabbi, I want you to teach me one sentence that I can remember you with, and that I can call you with this sentence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, Ya Musa, O Musa, say, La ilaha illallah. Musa said, O my Lord, your entire creation says this. Kullu ibadaka yaquluna hadha. And I wanted something special for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again, Ya Musa, O Musa, say La ilaha illallah. Once again, Musa says, I wanted something special, something extra. Not just La ilaha illallah. Everyone says La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Musa, know that if the entire creation of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them were placed in one side of the scale, and La ilaha illallah were placed in the other side of the scale, then La ilaha illallah would be heavier than the entire creation. This is the benefits and blessings of La ilaha illallah. In yet another hadith reported in Ibn Majah, if you can give me volume 4 of Ibn Majah, we find another blessing of La ilaha illallah. Ibn Majah is a book of hadith written by Muhammad ibn Yazid ibn Majah from the city of Qazwin, and he died in the year 273 Hijrah. Ibn Majah is considered to be the final of the 6 books. You know that there are 6 books that have attracted more attention and are more popular than other books of hadith. These are not the only books of hadith. Remember, many people assume that there are only 6 books of hadith. No, these 6 books, the famous Kutub al-Sitta, we call them, the 6 books, these are the best and the cream of the crop of the books of hadith. But there are many other books, for example, Ibn Hibban, and we use others and we'll use others as well. The 6 books are Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, and the last one, Ibn Majah. His position is considered to be last because of the fact that he was not as strict as the other 5. Therefore, there are more weak and fabricated narrations in this book than there are in the other 6. Of the hadith narrated in this book is the following. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person will be brought on the day of judgment in front of the entire creation. Everyone will be looking at him. And 99 scrolls will be placed in front of him. Every scroll will be as long as the eye can see. 99 scrolls. And every scroll will be, if you spread it out, it would be as wide and as far as the eye can see. And these are the scrolls of his sins. That's how many sins he has. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O my servant, do you deny anything that's written here? All of the information written on these 99 scrolls, do you deny that this is not true? He will say, No, my Lord, I don't deny it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, did my angels who wrote these sins down, did they do you injustice? Did they add something they shouldn't have added? Did they do something they shouldn't have done? He will say, No, my Rabb. Ya Rabb, no. They haven't done any injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, do you have any good deed? These are your 99 scrolls of sins, volumes of sins. Do you have any good deeds to show me? So the man, embarrassed and humiliated, he will say, No, my Lord, I don't. I don't have a single good deed to show you. This is the status of this man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, No, you do have a good deed. You do have a good deed. And today, no injustice will be shown to you. That good deed will be brought and weighed against these 99 scrolls as well. What is this good deed? The Prophet ﷺ said, one card, bitaqa, card. Not a scroll, not a volume, a card will be brought out of his good deeds. And this card will say, La ilaha illallah. That's all. One small card versus 99 scrolls. What do you think the guy is going to say? He says, Ya Rabb, O my Lord, of what use will this card be against 99 scrolls? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, No, this is your good deed. And today, no injustice will be done. Whatever will be the result of this good deed against these evils, that will be your result. No injustice will be done to you today. So, that one card will be placed on one side of the scale. And the 99 scrolls and volumes will be placed on the other side. The Prophet ﷺ said that the scrolls will fly up and the card will fall down. The scrolls will fly up. That's how heavy this card is. That's how heavy this kalima of La ilaha illallah is. Look at how powerful look at the effects of this kalima, where it could negate all of the evil of 99 scrolls of sins. And this kalima has yet more blessings. We'll take a short break and we'll be back right after these messages, inshallah.
Sheikh Asim, can you tell us the significance of this event, the washing of Al-Kaaba in Islam?
A great privilege to any Muslim to take part in such a ritual. Honoring the sacred shrine of Islam was a custom before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Continuing on our discussion of the benefits and the blessings of uluhiyya or la ilaha illallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that the best thing that I and all the prophets before me ever said was ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wal hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. I bear witness and I testify la ilaha illallah, there is no object worthy of worship except Allah. To Him belongs the kingdom, and to Him belongs all praise. He has no partners, and He is capable of all things. So this one statement, La ilaha illallah, is the best phrase that any human being, any prophet, has ever uttered. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described this phrase as being the pinnacle, the height, the apex of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. Iman is composed of 70-something parts. Iman has 70-something levels. The highest level of iman is ash-shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. The highest level. And the lowest level of iman is to remove some harm from the path. If you're walking down a path and you see, for example, some glass, it might harm somebody. Or you see another object that will harm somebody, you remove it and you throw it away. This is the lowest level of iman. And the Prophet ﷺ said, shyness and modesty is one of the branches of iman. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ described for us that the pinnacle of tawheed, or the pinnacle of iman, the height of faith is la ilaha illallah. And the blessings go on and on and on. Like we said, it is because of this phrase that we have been created. And can anything be more important than the reason for our creation? Because of this phrase, the Muslim is divided from the non-Muslim. The person who is going to heaven is decided from the person who is not. Because of this, Allah revealed the books and Allah sent the prophets, so on and so on. But what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? What is the connotation of La ilaha illallah? Well, La obviously means no. Ilaha illallah, there is no ilah except for Allah. This is pretty clear to anyone who understands a little bit of Arabic. There is no ilah, la ilaha, illallah, except Allah. So the crucial term in this testimony is ilah. What does it mean? What is the meaning of ilah? La ilaha illallah, there is no ilah except Allah. Ibn Abbas, in Tafsir al-Tabari, he defines an ilah as one whom everything turns to, and whom all objects worship. Another scholar by the name of Al-Raghib al-Asfahani, a famous scholar who wrote a book called Mufradat al-Qur'an, and this book he compiled in it all the words that are used in the Qur'an only, not the words of the Arabic language, no. Just the words of the Qur'an. Every Qur'anic word he defined it. He said, an ilah is a name given to every object that is worshipped. In fact, we can look up Lisan al-Arab, if you can give me, akhi, volume 1 of Lisan al-Arab. If you remember, Lisan al-Arab is the classical lexicon, dictionary of the Arabic language. And one unique thing about Lisan al-Arab is the fact that the author arranged it in a very strange style. He didn't arrange it alphabetically by the first letter. For example, the word ذهب. ذهب, in a modern dictionary, you look it up under ذال. And then you move to ha and then to ba. But in his way of writing the book, in his organization, he started from the last letter, ba. You would look under ذهب, you would go to the letter ba, the volume which has ba, and then look under ذال and then ha. So it's a different, unique arrangement. So therefore, if you want to look up a word, you don't start from the first letter, you start from the last letter, and then you work your way. So we look under ilah, and let's see what he has to say about the definition of ilah. He says that al-ilah is Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-ilah, the ilah is Allah. And an-ilah, any ilah, is everything that is worshipped besides him. Whoever worships an object considers that object an ilah. This is how he defines ilah. Whoever worships an object considers that worship to be an ilah. So, the translation of la ilaha illallah will translate as there is no object of worship. Not just Lord, not just Creator. There is no object of worship. There is no deity that is worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the proper translation of the kalima. We'll translate la ilaha illallah as there is no Lord or Creator except Allah. No, this is not the meaning of la ilaha illallah. Of course it is true that there is no Creator besides Allah. But had this been the meaning of la ilaha illallah, then the mushrikun of the Prophet's time, the Arabs of the Prophet's time, they would have accepted it. Remember, they believed in Allah. But they realized that la ilaha illallah means there is no deity that is worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to this phrase of the kalima, we find that we can divide it into two. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha is a negation. There is no ilah. There is no object of worship. Illallah is an affirmation, except for Allah. So there's a negation, half of it is a negation, la ilaha. I have negated that there is any object of worship. You deny it. The second half is an affirmation, illallah, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So la ilaha, negation, illallah, affirmation. And this is the height of eloquence. Because when you negate only, you might be a little bit eloquent. When you affirm only, you might also be a little bit, achieve a little bit of eloquence. But when you negate and affirm, this is when you achieve the height of eloquence. Let me give you an example. You can negate and say, there is no one who is brave in this room. For example, there is no one who is brave. This is negation. Is there any praise here? No, no praise. I can affirm and I can say, Zayd is brave. Okay, that's a little bit of praise. Zayd is brave. Suppose I combine the negation with the affirmation. There is no one who is brave except Zayd. Have I not praised Zayd much more than either the negation or the affirmation? Put together, you achieve the height of eloquence. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of the kalima. You negate the existence of any object that you will worship. Nothing. Whether it be an idol, whether it be a stone, whether it be a rock, a tree, a prophet, an angel. Nothing. There is no object that is worthy of worship. Illallah, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the precise definition of the kalima which we find in the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 256 that فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, whoever denies and disbelieves in the طَاغُوتِ, and the طَاغُوتِ is anything that is worshipped besides Allah, and يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, worships Allah, he is the one that has held on to the strong handhold. So Allah doesn't just say the one who believes in Allah. No. First he says whoever disbelieves in طَاغُوتِ, whoever disbelieves in all objects of worship besides Allah, and then believes in Allah, he is the one who has held on to a firm handhold. The implications of this kalima are profound. When a person testifies La ilaha illallah, he is testifying that he will not worship, he will not venerate, he will not respect in a divine way anything in existence except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is because of this reason that the mushrikun, the pagan Arabs, the jahiliyyah, the Quraysh of Mecca, they rejected the Prophet ﷺ. This is why they said, we're not going to believe in la ilaha illallah. Not because La ilaha illallah is telling them to worship Allah, they worshipped Allah. But because La ilaha illallah is telling them, don't worship anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. No object of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when the mushrikun were told of this statement, Allah describes their amazement. In Surah As-Sad, verse 3, Allah says, they are amazed that a warner has come amongst them. And the kafirun, the disbelievers, they said he is a clear magician, a lying magician. Sahirun kathab. Has he made the objects of worship, أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا? Has he made the objects of worship into one? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. This is amazing, strange, weird. Ponder over this ayah. Allah is describing the state of who? The kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers of Quraysh. And he is telling them, or he is telling us what they said, is that when they heard the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, this guy is a madman, a lunatic, a magician. Why? Is he making the objects of worship into one object? Not is he calling us to Allah. Not is he telling us to believe in a Rabb. No, they believed in him. They were amazed, astounded, flabbergasted that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the audacity to tell them that they should not worship any object except Allah. أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا. Has he made the objects of worship into one object? Indeed, this is something which is amazing, which is strange. And it is because of this that the mushrikun did not accept Islam. It is because of this that they fought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is because of this that they rejected him. They tortured the Muslims, some of them to death. They expelled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca. And they engaged in many battles and wars with him. Not because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to believe in Allah, because they had already believed in him. But because they worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point. They refused to give up their worship of other than Allah. Why is this so profound? Why is it so important? Because Muslims, my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, there are many Muslims who believe Allah is the Rabb. And He is the creator and the sustainer and the nourisher. But they direct their acts of worship to other than Allah. So they have fallen into the same problem as the Jahili Arabs of old did. They believe Allah is the Rabb, but they direct their acts of worship to other than Allah. And we're going to continue on this same theme, inshallah, in our next lesson. If there are any questions about this lesson, we'll take them now, inshallah, before concluding. Yes, you have a question, Akhi?
I've noticed that whenever you say La ilaha illallah, and then you translate it as there is no deity worthy of worship, this phrase, worthy of worship, what evidence do we have for this?
Okay, that's a good question, because the actual phrase of La ilaha illallah doesn't say worthy of worship. It says there is no object of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This phrase, worthy of worship, can be found in the Quran and Sunnah and also from common sense. How many are the objects that are worshipped besides Allah? Millions. People worship Jesus Christ. People worship rocks, stones and statues. People worship idols. People worship the sun and the moon. So the translation cannot just be there is no object of worship besides Allah, because there are many objects that are worshipped besides Allah. But the Quran tells us in very many verses that these objects of worship are useless. They are not able to benefit or harm you. They are statues, stones. And Allah tells us that Allah is the Haqq, the truth. He is the one who is all powerful, all knowledgeable. So we understand then that the precise meaning of the Shahada of La ilaha illallah is that there are no objects that are worthy of the worship. We add this from the Quran and Sunnah and from common sense. There are no objects that are worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we were to translate this verbatim, then we'll be translating it as there is no object that is worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that would be an improper translation, because many are the objects that are worshipped besides Allah. And we'll continue this theme in our next lesson, inshallah. We hope to see you next time. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.